Representative.
Thank you, Senator. Commissioner, do people that have paid for their license all along, would they be out?
No, they would not be out. They can continue to pay for their license and maintain a license. They would just have to have their own vessel in order to participate, much like the lobster fishery is now. A lobster man or woman can have a license even if they don't use it, not own a vessel, but continue to maintain that license for a future time.
But what good is it if you can't go?
Some people may want to go in the future, and they're preserving that ability to do that.
No, but if this passes and they're just holding a license and they don't have a boat, they would be out.
They would be out until they purchased a vessel.
Any other questions, Representative?
Thank you. How long are those licenses? Are they lifetime?
For as long as they renew them. If they do not renew, they would lapse. Yep.
Senator Vitale.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So why would a fisherman have both a scallop rig on board and an urchin rig if they're only going to be fishing for urchins?
So if in Cobbs Cook in particular, there are several fishermen that have both licenses.
Right.
And if they have the ability to fish for both species on the same day, by law, they have to leave one drag somewhere else. They can't have them on board. And so what we're trying to do is more for safety and convenience than anything else, allow them to stow that other scallop drag on board their vessel without having, in most cases, a lot of them lowering it down and putting a mooring ball on it, leaving it on the bottom somewhere, and then coming back later in the day to get it to then go out and pursue the other species.
Okay, so it's more of a convenience and a safety issue.
Yeah, and we have not had any issues associated with this, and patrol thought it was time to make a correction to that law.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Toole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a couple. The first one being, so somebody, they have a boat, they have a license, but they don't have a boat. Is there a period of time you're willing to give them to get a boat so that they don't lose out within the next year? Is that my... I'm confusing these two bills, probably.
I think Representative, and I don't want to speak for Representative Bloom, but the idea of grandfathering is to allow those type of arrangements to continue until they end. We do have a little bit of trouble on how we would track those. My thinking is set a hard date within this law of which it would be become final. So given an individual that has an existing arrangement the ability to fish this upcoming season, but in the 2019 season they would have to own their own vessel, as an example.
So basically they would have 2 years to get their finances and get a boat and show proof that that's what they're doing, basically.
That is my thought, Representative Toole.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other question is in regards to the prospects of a lottery or limited entry. I know there's been a lot of chatter on the computer about what that should be or whether it should be and how that should play out. Did you care to weigh in on that?
It's your legislation by social media, Representative Toole.
Well, I'm just
Facebook rules. I know. We've been obviously involved in many different conversations with the industry about what that would look like. The idea of some sort of a lottery that gives preference to or additional points to individuals that have held licenses in the past, who can show that they have been a crew member for a certain amount of time. I think those are the type of things that we need to take into account, and we would try to work directly. Your question earlier about the SAC. The SAC would be very much engaged in this process, and we'd use them in other conversations with the industry to help develop what that rule would look like.
But would it make sense to bring future legislation forward on this, or just leave it as you've proposed?
I mean, the department right now has the authority in rule or in law to do rulemaking to allow entry,
right.
But because of the amount of latent effort that has continued to come into this fishery, we've been unwilling to do so. I've taken the position for the department that we will be willing to go and begin an entry process if we can put a strong owner-operator provision in place, because I think that helps balance out the entry side.
I get
or the latent entry, the latent effort side, excuse me.
Right. So yeah. Basically, no. If we don't get owner operator, we're basically not going to see a more in depth discussion about entry.
That would be my position, sir. Yeah.
Representative Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two unrelated questions. First has to do with divers diving year round. Scallops are ripe and ready to spawn anywhere from early July till Labor Day weekend, typically, at least
yep.
in the mid coast. Do we want divers out harvesting and when we've
no.
got females about to spawn?
No, I think we would take those type of things, those biological concerns, into effect if we were going to make a change in the diet.
So it wouldn't be year round. You'd consider the spawning of scallops.
Right. We're not advocating that divers would get this big long open season. What we would advocate for is trying to find some flexibility. They're always concerned about the impacts that the drag fleet has on their ability to dive, sedimentation, those type of things, bottom being stirred up. We've had conversations with divers in the past. Trish and I from staff tried to see if there was any interest from divers about 4 years ago to have some different seasons. While there was some indications that there was some interest, most of them still wanted to fish during those winter months. But I think there's been a little change in that conversation, and I think people are willing to kind of open up the book and try to see if there are any other ways that this fishery could be promulgated. Again, it would be done in concert with conversations with the SAC. The SAC is made up of both divers and draggers, and I'm sure it'll be a lively debate.
Mm-hmm. And my other question has to do with the grandfathering.
Yep.
Looking at families that are working together, keeping fishing communities alive. Would you have a problem with extending that grandfathering more than a year or two, specifically for families? These are not situations where you have one individual who owns a bunch of boats,
yeah.
or one individual who has a bunch of licenses. I think that there is quite a bit of value to a lot of these coastal communities where there isn't a lot of other options for them to keep as many fishing options available as possible.
The first thing that pops to my mind is equity. You just want to make sure that you're not giving that family line a much greater opportunity to be participating in that fishery. So you're going to have to weigh those two things in the conversation. But I think the last piece, though, to mention, though, is I believe the language that you're referring to within the statute, and I haven't looked at it today, but is very specific language that has been taken from the section of law for lobsters. And we would, we utilize that language all the time within the lobster fishery, allowing family participation in the use of a boat. There's still tags associated with it, and they can't have so many tags on a vessel, but it gives some flexibility. And I think we could find ways to work with that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You bet.
Representative Battle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, going to the urchin dragging and scallop dragging. Okay, right now you can go for one or the other, but you can't do both in the same day, have both
on
board.
You can't have both pieces of gear on board.
Right, but I mean, okay, right.
You'd have to do two separate trips the way it's written now. The way it's
okay, well, why?
If you'd have to go back and find somebody that was here a long time ago to ask that question. I can't. There's a hand's going to go up in the audience. I'm sure they'll be able to refer to it, but it was an issue associated with people fishing for both species at the same time with an urchin drag or a scallop drag, two different types of drags. And so what we're saying is you can fish for scallops, and you can have both drags on board at the same time, and you can target scallops with a scallop drag, and you can target urchins with an urchin drag. And for simplicity and convenience for the harvester, you don't have to lower one to the bottom and then steam off and then come back and pick it up and drop the other one.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Family. That
I don't have a very good one, so let's skip that.
So if you were buddies, would they be out? Like two people that have worked together forever, they're not family, but they
sometimes act like it.
Yeah, I think, Representative Hawks, I think we're at a point where we need to make a hard line decision. I respect the opinion of Representative Bloom to try to grandfather in and recognize those agreements over time. But I think for the long-term success of this industry, I think making a determination now that sets a date that says you've got this much time to invest in this fishery or not participate in the future.
I guess what I'm saying is, two people have been working together for a long time.
Yeah.
One's got the license, one's got... It's not a cheap business to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the end of it, get a new job.
If you use my example that I gave to Representative Toole, you would have basically the next 2 years to invest in that fishery, in that boat.
Yeesh.
Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any provision in here outlining percentage of ownership of the boat?
I don't have the owner-operator language in front of me, but it's a majority percentage, I believe. But we'll make sure you have that exact language for the work session.
Okay, because I was wondering what would prevent parties from simply adding names onto titles in an attempt to kind of circumvent the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, there are instances where we've seen that happen or try to have seen that happen within the lobster fishery, but for the most part, it's pretty much a clean owner-operator provision with an individual having the majority share of the boat, and they're the owner and the operator of the vessel.
Yeah, we'd be wanting to see that for the work session.
Yeah, yep,
you bet. Any other questions for the commissioner?
Aye.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me that I recall maybe at least 10 years ago, maybe as many as 15, I was working up in Cobbs Cook Bay, and there was a woman who was a Passamaquoddy who had an urchin license,
mm-hmm.
and there was a fisherman from Lubeck who was not a member of the Passamaquoddy tribe that utilized that license for her. But then at some point, he was disallowed from doing that. So is the urchin fishery already semi-owner-operator?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not sure of the exact situation that you're referring to, but there are many members of the Passamaquoddy tribe who own a vessel and participate in the fishery,
mm-hmm.
and there are members of that tribe who also just get the license and put that license on a non-tribal boat, and there are those type of instances as well. In this case, this bill would cover all tribal and non-tribal licenses, so everybody would have to fall under the same set of rules.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if I may, to a question that Representative Sutton had earlier on the federal fisheries, whether they're owner-operator, they are not owner-operator, but a federal permit holder, just like in the lobster fishery, still is subject to our laws. So anybody participating in the lobster fishery with a federal permit still falls under our owner-operator provisions. Yep.
Any other questions for the commissioner? Thank you, commissioner.
Great. Thank you.
I guess we need Mr. Thomas to come up because he has worked a lot with Representative Bloom.